Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Radio Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Power of Love, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. We believe that through the power of love, everything is possible with love on your side. I am TJ Jackson, and of course, I have with me, as he looks up at me to make sure I don't... What are you looking at me for?
No, you flip the words.
I always do. I try to keep you on your toes, Terrell.
Like the lyrics to the song. Stick to the script, please.
I have my two brothers with me as they're giving me grief. I am the youngest. I have with me Terrell Jackson.
Hello.
And Todd Jackson.
Hello.
Of course.
Interesting.
No creativity. They'll just say hello every time.
Do you... like, look forward to the way Taj is going to say
it. I do.
I do, too.
I know, that's why
I changed.
Because
I wonder which way he's going to do it.
You talk about being unpredictable, so.
But I have with me my two brothers, and we have a couple of great guests. But first, before we introduce our guests, Terrell, I'll let you talk about...
our week?
Our week, real quick.
We had a busy week.
Yeah, but talk about the highlight of our week.
Well, there was a lot that went on. I'm going back a week. I'm going back. So last time we did rehearsals for the show.
Okay.
Before we did the show, we were about to leave. We left the next day. So we flew to Holland.
Yeah.
How do you pronounce it? I don't want to...
Nijmegen.
Nijmegen.
Yeah, it's close.
That's where we were.
You
that
sound
was about
very confident. I know you're not.
I think it's Nijmegen.
Probably still
I think
wrong.
It's Nijmegen.
Okay.
It's one of
well,
those
we went
two.
To that place.
Okay.
Which was about an hour, 20 minutes away from... Amsterdam?
East of Amsterdam.
About that?
Yeah.
I liked it.
It was great, right?
It was quiet. Holland's incredible.
Yeah.
As it is. But we had a performance there.
Yeah.
We performed at Back to the 90s. Right? Back to the 90s?
It was, yeah. I think that's what it was called.
Back to the 90s festival. And that was fun. It's always fun to perform and be on stage with you guys.
It was a wonderful crowd with 35,000.
Yep.
And it was really cool. A lot of energy.
It's a quick trip.
And by the way, you know it's raining and like really windy right now. So
is it? So we missed.
Wow,
so
we missed. We had
it could have been a disaster.
We were saying how incredible the weather was, and they said a week ago it wasn't good.
Yeah.
So we came at the right time.
We tend to do that though. We bring our Southern California weather, right?
Yeah.
I feel like we tend to do that. Taj Jackson, you have anything to add, or are you just gonna
McGregor, Floyd?
Well, he wasn't guys, even watching.
Yeah, I didn't even care about that. You guys were the ones that cared about it.
How do you not watch that?
I watched it. It's just, for me, I don't know.
He wasn't into it. I was sitting right next to him.
I watched it more so that people talked about it. I could say that I watched it, but...
You have no interest in it?
No.
I thought it was a good fight. I thought
it was. Very entertaining. And we got up at, 3 in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
And drove
We changed our call time 2 hours early so we could drive... too close to the airport and watch it so we wouldn't be stuck at the airport while the fight was going on, not being able to watch it.
Lucky me.
So it worked out.
It worked out well. And then, of course, before we get into our guest, we have to discuss Hurricane Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
And to everyone in Houston and Texas, as many know, I have family in the east part of Texas, and some in Houston, actually. And, of course, it's a tough situation, and, you know, we're doing... What we can, in a way, you know, I wish there was more we could do, but I've tweeted certain things that people can do, and it's so important to come together as one, as we all know. And I think what the problem is, a lot of times we go on our day, you know, we have sunshine outside, and we just assume it, the world is great. But for others, especially in the Houston area, it's really tough. So our prayers are with you, and our love is with you. And, you know, anything else you guys want to add?
No, you covered it all.
Yeah.
It's really...
It's tough, right?
Yeah.
And what's tough is we didn't really hear about the buildup because we were in Holland, you know? So it wasn't really till we were got home, and we're still learning about the situation, but it's crazy. I guess the rainfall is the most in a ridiculous amount of time. So, you know, this is where we have to put everything aside, all politics, all differences, and unite as one to help everyone. And that's very important. So do what you can to help and support those in need in Houston, right?
Okay. Now, two things. We also had Mom's passing anniversary was the 27th.
Correct.
August.
Which is what, Terrell, 23 years?
What year? Yeah.
23 years.
23 years.
Mm-hmm. 94, yeah.
We had that.
Which is a date I don't really remember.
I don't? No.
I do.
I don't.
I do.
Yeah, I don't remember the date. I don't really... It doesn't... I don't know. I don't know why.
Yeah, it does... It, I don't know. I always do. I dread that day.
Hmm.
But it was on the 27th. And then the 29th was Uncle Michael's...
Uncle Michael's birthday.
Yeah. So...
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't like to highlight negative days, maybe.
Yeah. I can't avoid that day. Uh-huh. You know, it always makes me think about it because it's just the day I wish never happened. Mm-hmm. But this year, I figured to take that negative feeling and turn it into a positive. So I decided, and I probably hadn't discussed this with you guys, but just to bring more awareness to the foundation on that day.
I saw that, so and I liked
that. That was great.
I thought that was great, Terrell.
That's what I'm going to push for every year.
Love it. Good. Cool. Well, we're live on the Power of Love radio show, and if you're listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. Later on in our show, we will be opening up possibly the phone lines. The number there is 323-203-0815. I should say probably the phone lines. And then, of course, you can always get us through Twitter. You can comment, ask questions, anything related to topic we welcome. Our Twitter handle is DDJ Foundation, so it's the letters DDJ Foundation. And again, for our disclaimer, we are not licensed therapists. We're just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we've learned from it. And we want to share our opinions in an attempt to help you overcome whatever it is you're going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Do not just rely on us. Okay. So, let's get right into it. We will start... We have two guests, but I'm going to introduce one, and she's going to introduce our other guest. So, returning for the third time is one of my favorite guests we've ever had.
Aww.
It's
a
true.
Three-peat.
A three-peat. And which, you're the first guest to come a third time. We've had a couple do two, but you're the first third time.
Wow.
And our listeners love our guest, Miss Lynn B. She's very honest, very open, and very savvy, you know? And I'm still working on the gratitude list.
Are you?
I'm still working on that.
Good.
Because Taj says he does it every now and then. Right, Taj?
So I start good? The morning with it, yeah.
Yeah, so.
But you got to do it at night, too.
I know.
Yeah.
So, but we have with us Dr. B. I'm sorry. Lynn B. You're a doctor, probably, are you?
No.
You studied something.
I'm an esthetician, licensed esthetician, skin
care.
That's
not a doctor?
No, honey.
No? Okay. Almost.
But you want to call me Dr. B, go for it. I don't care.
All right, well, with us, of course, is the amazing Lynn. Lynn, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Good. How's your summer going?
Fast.
It is, right?
Oh, my God. Where did it go?
And the weather wasn't bad. Up until
now, it's really
sure.
Now it's really
October
hot.
Is going to kill us.
It's going to be
August.
Hot, huh?
Yeah, yeah, it's delayed, but yeah. You know, everything's changing. The climate is changing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How's everything in your life going?
Everything is good.
Yeah.
You know, it's been the summer went fast. We were talking about it. You know, I had my original surgery for my breast cancer in May 8th, and I am shocked that here we are. In September, almost in September, and next Tuesday, is it the 5th or the 7th? I can't remember what the date is. September.
Oh, I'm looking it up.
Oh, thank you.
If my calendar will load.
I'm having a senior moment. I can't remember.
It is the 5th.
Okay, September 5th is my final surgery.
Lynn, when you say final, you have this is going to be your third surgery.
Second surgery. Yes.
So the first surgery in regards to your breast cancer was in May to remove.
I had a double mastectomy.
Okay.
And they removed the cancer, the breast, and then I had the reconstruction right then and there.
Okay.
To start the process so that I would have my final surgery September 5th. And then I'm done.
Okay.
I'm excited.
You're excited.
I am excited to get this behind me. And then to move on and help other people deal with this process in a positive way.
Good for you.
That's
yeah.
So last time you were with us, you spoke and said, there's one guest I want to bring back.
Yes.
And you felt it was really important to bring this guest back.
Mm-hmm.
and you want to introduce that person.
Yes.
And first of all, why was it important to you? Because you were really strong on that.
Because when you go in, when somebody tells you have breast cancer and you go to a doctor that you do not know, you know, it's a scary thing. I mean, the breast cancer alone is scary. Mm-hmm. But to go to somebody you don't know, even though they're highly recommended by many people, it was a process that I had to really hold strong, not to be afraid. And so the first time that I met this gentleman, as I said before, he made the best situation out of a bad situation. Mm-hmm. And it's just been not easy, but not sad, mm-hmm. this journey with this gentleman. So
who do you got?
I am talking about Dr. Elliot Hirsch, who is my plastic surgeon.
Hey, hey.
And it's just, I said he was a genius. I called him the boy genius before. And
he is an adult, though, right?
He is an adult.
Come on. For our
yes,
listeners.
He is an adult, but he has just made this a positive journey. And I am so grateful because I look great.
Yeah,
he did such an amazing job, and I know the final part will be fantastic. So, Dr. Elliot Hirsch.
How are you, Dr. Elliot?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us.
Yes.
I'm going to real quick ask you, when you hear someone like Lynn, who's a patient, say that, how does that make you feel?
Well, it's good. You know, I have kind of a funny profession, and there's not that many professions out there where you can have somebody just walk into your office and say, all right, let's have you take your shirt off. I'm going to examine your breasts and take a few pictures, and you know, maybe I'll even draw on them in front of you. And I mean, without getting arrested. So
yeah. Yeah, fill that last
one. Maybe so. But so and the sad part about that, though, is that a lot of times, like in Lynn's case, it's not the ideal time to be doing that. Mm. And I do plenty of other surgeries too, and we do breast augmentations, breast reductions, and other types of breast surgery, but we do a lot of breast cancer. And so it's important, though, that when women and patients come in for breast cancer, that they know that this isn't the end. You know, this is the beginning of a process. And so, like Lynn said, it's kind of been a journey for her, and that's something that we try to impart to all of our patients, is that, you know, this is going to be a process. There are some days when you're going to be really happy. There's going to be some days when you just want to strangle me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm here for you, and I will help you get through this, and we'll work on this together.
From a doctor's perspective, do you see you're kind of also, I'm not going to say because I know doctors are careful, but do you have to kind of take a psychological, like, are you careful with the psychological being of the patient, if that makes sense? Like, are you wary of how they come in? If they're scared, if they're excited, or is there a strategy you take on from a psychologically standpoint when it comes to your patients?
Yeah, 100%. And it's not just a matter of, okay, you know, am I going to be able to help this person? It's where are they coming from? And mm-hmm. everybody's in a different place when they find out that they have breast cancer, because a lot of people have a personal story. You know, maybe you have a friend or a mom, or you've heard of somebody, or you've seen something on the news. And so everybody's in a different place, and it's important to take that into consideration. And you know, I think I have a reasonable sense of humor. It gets me in trouble once in a while, but I try to modulate that.
Yeah.
If somebody's not in the right place for it, but then if somebody's like Lynn and she's egging me on the whole time, we can have fun.
Lynn, how did you find Dr. Elliot?
He was referred by my breast surgeon.
Okay.
So that's, and I had talked to a lot of people, and I had heard his name, but I didn't know him. And I have to say, when Dr. Hirsch said about you might like me, you might not like me the next day, I never felt that way. There was not one day that I was ready to shoot him.
Right.
Every time was great. And the one thing that Dr. Hirsch said to me was, just remember, they're not twins, they're sisters. And okay,
what does that mean? I think I know, but I like to understand what that means.
Yeah, I mean every breast is different. You know, everybody has two breasts, and no two are 100% identical. And so
they're not like pairs of shoes or anything.
No.
Or socks.
They're always a little. One nipple's a little higher. Okay. One's a little bigger. You know, most women know which one's which.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So they're not twins. They're sisters.
Sisters.
Cool.
Some, yeah, but I think mine are close to twins. I'm sorry.
Some look less related than others, too.
Yeah. That's cool. You guys have any? I'm just
thinking about. See, we're making humor out of something that could have been really,
so
bad.
Lynn, with your situation, when you found out you had breast cancer, to walk me through this, there's options. You have to get it removed, obviously, and then because does everyone have a second surgery, or is that something that if you want to reconstruct it? I'm kind of lost in that.
You know, I don't know what everybody else does, and I'm sure there's lots of stories, and I think Dr. Hirsch can answer that as far as what they always do. But once I saw the radiologist told me that I had breast cancer, then I was referred to the breast surgeon.
Okay.
And then I saw her and said, this is what we're going to do, because I told you before, my mom died of breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And so there was no question I was going to do a double mastectomy. There was no way I was going to wait for the other shoe to fall. And so I chose to do it, and then she referred me to Dr. Hirsch. She said that she had worked with him and that he had great results, because I knew that I wanted to have reconstruction. You know, I didn't want to walk around, you know, completely flat and scarred. And so I chose to have the reconstruction.
So Dr. Hirsch, for you, the different patients come in with different plans?
No, absolutely, yeah. When somebody's diagnosed with breast cancer, usually that starts through either a lump that they feel, or maybe their doctor notices, or maybe they get an annual screening mammogram, which shows something abnormal, and then they get a biopsy and they find out they have breast cancer. So when they come into me, they already know what their diagnosis is. Mm-hmm. So then the next step is the treatment. And so these days with breast cancer, there are two general types of surgical treatments that they do. There is a lumpectomy, where they take out just the tumor and some margins of normal breast tissue around the tumor, and then follow that with radiation. And then the other alternative is to do a mastectomy, when they take off the entire breast. And there's actually a role for plastic surgeons in both of these situations. Sometimes when women have a lumpectomy and they just take out part of their breast, we do a breast reduction at the same time, especially if they have heavy breasts and mm-hmm. they may have been thinking about this for a while. If you do that, it's actually a really good procedure, because it gives you a really nice shaped breast, but it's just a little bit smaller versus taking out a big chunk of the breast, radiating it, and having it contract or be deformed. Then the other one is the mastectomy, when the entire breast goes away. And there, in general, there are two different like broad classes of reconstruction that we do. There are the procedures that involve expanders and implants, and then there are the procedures that are involving your body. And usually with your body, it's your stomach or your back. So sometimes patients come in and they have an idea of what they want ahead of time. Maybe they've had a friend or a family member who's had the same procedure. And then there are those who come in and just have no idea and just want to hear the options. But it's different for everybody.
Mm-hmm. And how long are these procedures usually? I know each one is different, but how long does it all take, recovery time and everything?
You know, it just depends on what you're doing. To do the one with an expander like Lynn had, it's basically like putting a balloon into the breast. And so what we do is we when the breast surgeon's done at the same time, so we'll come into the surgery, and then we'll lift up the chest muscle, their pec muscle, and then put the expander under that. There's a little bit of saline in the expander when we put it in, but then over the next 2 to 3 months in the office, we fill it with injections of saline. And then when the expander gets to be the size that we like it, we take the expander out and exchange that for a permanent implant. So the process with an expander, I mean, it can be 2 to 3 months. But usually after the first 2 weeks, the surgical drains are out, patients are off antibiotics, they're feeling pretty good. And usually by 4 weeks, they're back 100% to their work or whatever other activities they're doing.
So the expander's role is simply to prepare the breast for the implant?
Exactly. It's a placeholder. And so there are times when we can put the implant in directly. It just depends on how big does the patient want to be after surgery.
Okay.
And how much skin do they have to get to that size. So if you have somebody who has an A-cup breast and says, you know, I've always wanted to have big breasts, and now's my chance, we can do that.
Right.
But you're going to have an expander. There's going to be some stretching of the skin.
Yeah. So then a second or third surgery will be required.
Yeah, exactly. That's
fine. Okay, cool.
Is this recovery painful?
Lynn, what do you think?
No, not at all, actually. I mean, after the first initial surgery, which Terrell. It was about, I think I was in the OR about 6.5 hours from the time the breast surgeon started and then when Dr. Hirsch stopped, you know, was done. But no, I didn't find it to be painful. The only thing, it was annoying, the drains that they put in. But painful, no.
And got it. No. Lynn, you're excited.
I am really excited.
Yeah. So you have surgery in less than a week, but you're really excited.
I am.
Why?
Because I'm lucky. I get to do this. I'm not going to die. You have a choice in life. You want to sit and be whiny about it.
Yeah.
You know, and I've said to you all along, I have a very strong, positive attitude. I am grateful every day that I am here with my children, my grandchildren, my friends. I'm not going to die. So why wouldn't I be happy? And I'm going to look great. My chest is going to look like a 20-year-old. What the heck?
I love it. This is why everyone loves Split.
Seriously. I mean, I have nothing to complain about, right? And I'm in good hands. Yeah. I have the best plastic surgeon. Yeah. I know it's going to look great. Then I'm going to have my flowers, my tattoos afterwards.
What is that?
I'm having a...
And are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And real quick, Lynn, before you speak about it, because some are just hearing it for the first time, will you talk about the tattoos and why you're getting them and what they mean?
Right. Well, you can have a nipple tattooed. I'm choosing not to do that.
Okay. A nipple tattoo.
Uh-huh.
What's the reason for that?
Well, your nipples are gone when you have this surgery.
Got it.
So there are a lot of younger women who want to look normal.
Got it.
And that have lost their nipples, so they will do a 3D tattoo of their nipple.
Okay.
I'm choosing not to do that, mainly because nobody's going to... I'm not having a baby at 67, so I don't need a nipple. I don't want to wear a bra, so I can wear shirts like I am now without something showing. And I wanted to say to this cancer, I am strong, I am powerful, you didn't beat me. So I'm having flowers tattooed all underneath my breast to look like a bustier. So when I am wearing something white, I'm going to stand and go, look at me, I am a winner.
That's awesome.
So
yeah, we shared the picture, I believe, on
Yes,
Instagram.
You did.
We did, right?
The picture of my flowers. Yeah, that one was a lot. I'm not doing quite as much. I'm just doing underneath. But yeah, it's just... Yeah, it's power. It's happiness.
Yeah.
It's I won, right?
I love that, Lynn. That's so
infectious.
You guys
know me. I'm just
now that I think about it, though. Seriously, you've always had that really great spark about you, and it's very commendable.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's very commendable, Lynn.
Thank you. Well, with Louie and Mara as my kids, I have to have a spark. I love you guys. Just kidding.
Tara, was there another part of your question you asked?
No, so I just wanted to, because you mentioned the tattoo. I wanted the listeners, because I know it was a great thing, and I wanted them to follow
up. I have a question.
Yes?
What made you want to get into this profession, or what?
It's a plastic surgery is... The people who go into plastic surgery, I remember when I was a first-year med student, and I was talking to one of the residents, just a surgery resident. He said, all the funny, good-looking people go into plastic surgery. I said, I think I have half of that.
What was meant by that?
It's the people who go into plastic surgery, it's a different personality.
Okay.
And the reason for that is the procedures that we do, it's a very gray area, and it's not a lot of... You know, the success of the procedure is not determined by whether or not you took somebody's appendix out, or you put a heart valve in, or you took a tumor out of something. And it's a very gray area. And so, for example, Lynn is very happy, which is good. If Lynn's perception of her results is different than my perception of her results, does that matter? You know, what's more important? And then the next question is, you know, what are you going to do about that? And so a lot of our surgeries are like that, where you can reduce a breast, you can shape a breast, you can do a nose or a face or whatever procedure is, and there's no clear-cut way to do it because everybody has a slightly different technique and everybody wants to do something a little bit different, and that's tailored towards the patient who may have different anatomy, may want a different result. And so a lot of what we do is this kind of judgment, like we were talking before, evaluating psychology and trying to figure out where the patient's coming from, and then meeting or finding a procedure that fits their psyche, their anatomy, and trying to get the best possible result. And so the people who go into plastic surgery tend to be people who are a little bit less cut and dry, not so much black and white, but it's a little more, it's a very thoughtful field, and it's a lot of evaluation and consideration rather than just going in and just doing something.
Did you, when you were young, did you always want to be at least a doctor?
Yeah, I did. I did. And my mom was a nurse, but there wasn't really a reason for it. I just knew that that's always what I was going to be doing someday.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything that swayed you to really specialize in plastic surgery?
It was, you know, it was during med school. Everybody, when you go into med school, you have, the way it works, for the first 2 years of med school, you're doing basic science stuff, things that you've done in college, you're just kind of redoing it. Then your third year, you do clinical rotations when you go into the hospital and you do different medicine and OB-GYN and pediatrics. And I mean, I could tell you guys, those are stories for another day. But early on, I mean, I was always attracted to surgery. Mm-hmm. And in fact, one of the people who was one of my medicine preceptors said, you know, you are one of the most surgery people I've ever met. He said, if you don't go into surgery, I'm going to slap you. All right, I get it. And then I started shadowing different surgical fields and just seeing the other specialties, and I found plastic surgery, and it just seemed like a good fit for me.
Interesting. Any great, like, I'm sure you have some, but any moments where you're like, I'll start with this, any moments where you kind of like are beating yourself up as a plastic surgeon?
Yeah.
Or tough days or tough moments? Or what are the drawbacks of being a plastic surgeon?
Well, I think the biggest drawback to being a plastic surgeon is also the biggest drawing factor to it. And for example, like I said before, does my perception meet what the patient is seeing? And you know, are they happy if I'm not happy? If I'm happy and they're not happy, I mean, how does that all fit together? And so there are occasionally some times where I see a patient and we've done a surgery and I think this is a really great result and I'm really happy with it, and the patient is not. And that's, I mean, that can be really hard.
But that can also be them just not used to their new feature.
Yes, exactly.
It just takes time sometimes for them to, is that kind of accurate?
That's exactly what I tell them.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a matter of, it's an adjustment, it takes time. But then, you know, it's not like if somebody says, hey, for example, let's say I'm doing a breast augmentation surgery and the patient says, I want to have a double D size breasts, and we pick an implant that's, you know, that's a different, if they don't get double D size breasts and they're not happy about that, that's a whole nother story. Mm-hmm. But if objectively, if they have a good result and it's something that looks really good and, you know, I feel very proud of, and maybe something we put on the website, we show to other patients, and they don't like it, or if they have, you know, every so often we have complications. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing's perfect. Mm-hmm. There are, people get infections. Mm-hmm. Drains can get infected. Mm-hmm. You know, there people can get fluid collections in the breasts. Things happen. You can't control everything, and that's, you know, you do everything you possibly can, have the best possible technique, but if you have a problem, how do you deal with it?
Right. Okay.
Would you say a lot of your patients that come in, I mean, obviously we don't know as much as a doctor would, but do you feel most patients come in well-prepared and knowledgeable of the situation and the process? Are they doing their research before going? Or do they have no clue, like, that's not going to work out, you can't do this, can't do that, you shouldn't do this, shouldn't do that?
It's a good question. I think most people come in with some idea in their head of either what they want or what they want to achieve. And then marrying that idea to the reality is, I think, that's the artful part of the job. That's the hard part. Mm-hmm. You know, again, if Lynn had come in and said, I want to have gigantic triple D breasts after the surgery, you know, we would have had to sit down and talk about what is permissible with her anatomy, what's reasonable, what's going to be good result long term, what's healthy, what's safe,
right?
And just try to get those expectations in line with reality.
Because you're dealing with more than just, I mean, to simplify it, to if they order what's on the menu, you're dealing with more of the, kind of like behind the scenes, because it's really confidence. It's
sure.
It can change everything. And as a doctor, you obviously know more about it than they kind of don't, you know, they a change that they think they may like can make them very miserable and unhappy later. And I'm sure you think about all those things, so it can't be easy.
No. I like the menu analogy. And
sorry.
But. No, it actually makes sense. But think of it like this. They come in with like a buffet, And then maybe from that buffet, there are three or four things that will work for them, three or four things they can eat from that buffet. And any one of them is fine, but we just have to pick one of those three or four. Then the other 20 things on the buffet that aren't going to be good for them, we have to just move past that. You know, we're going to move past the double deep fried donut, you know,
right,
get you to the salad.
Taj?
Yeah, so what is, I don't want to say what's your role, but what's the deciding factor of, like, if you should interject your opinion or not in terms of, like, how much do you guide them to a certain point of, like, I think that would be better for them, or do you kind of let them? Because sometimes people don't know, you know, what's good for them, or they might have something.
They think they know.
Yeah, they think they know, and you have seen it all. And so to you, you might be like, okay, that person might not look good with that. But so how do you, that's like a certain area that it's like, I don't know, that would be complicated for me to deal with that.
Well, I mean, rule number one is do no harm. And so whatever we end up doing, we want to make sure it's safe.
Okay.
That's first and foremost. And so there are some options that just don't fit for certain people. People who've had previous radiation, for example, let's say they had the lumpectomy. They had radiation. They have a cancer recurrence. And then they need a mastectomy. If you put an expander in that person, their chance of having a big problem is 60 to 70%.
Oh, okay.
So you can't just do that. You know, you can't go straight to an implant. You can't go straight to an expander. You have to do something else. So safety is really important. And then the other one, too, is kind of long-term results. For example, breast implants, they don't last forever. You may, after 10 years, need some kind of revision. Usually we say about 50% of people will have some type of revision. And so if you're a younger patient and you don't want to have four or five surgeries over the course of your lifetime, maybe a different type of reconstruction is the best way for you.
What do you mean different type? What's a different type of reconstruction?
So expanders and implants, that's kind of the bread and butter. I think in the U.S., about 80 to 90% of all reconstructions are done with expanders and implants. But we can also do things where we take your stomach fat.
Oh.
Yeah, take your stomach fat and your skin and a blood vessel and then move that into your chest and then rebuild your breast using natural fat.
Can you do that? So you could do that even with a patient who's coming to you for breast cancer?
Yeah, absolutely.
And what's the difference in the results in a way?
It depends on the patient. You know, for example, coming back again to people's expectations, if a patient says, I want to have two breasts that are made from my tummy, and I look at their tummy, and, you know, they're skinny, and there's no fat there, and they say, well, I mean, to build a breast from your tummy, you have to have a breast on your tummy.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds simple, but I mean, you'll be surprised how often we have that conversation. So that's one way of doing it. Then the other way of doing it is using your back, where we can take your latissimus muscle and a little bit of skin and fat, and then combine that with an expander.
Wow. I assume it's a lot. Each one is different process.
Yes, absolutely.
The difficulty in each one, are they pretty? I assume not dealing with fat or muscles is easier.
Absolutely.
Okay.
The tummy one, if you're just doing one side, that's about 8 hours.
And, oh wow!
Yeah, about 4 days in the hospital.
In terms of the results, like, is it the same lasting? Does it hold, or
it actually lasts better than an expander implant does, because expanders and implants don't age well. You know, implants with time, they can rupture, they can have problems, they can get hard, they can stretch the skin. So there's a lot of things that can happen with implants. The nice thing about doing the tummy procedure is that it will age just like fat on your body. So if you've got one breast that is just a natural breast, never had surgery on it, and then the other one is from your tummy, they should age about the same rate.
Wow.
So that's nice. But at the same time, there's no such thing as a free lunch in plastic surgery. You're always making trades. And so do you want to go through a big procedure where it's, you know, 7-8 hours of surgery, 4 to 7 days in the hospital, 4 to 6 weeks of pain in terms of your stomach and kind of getting back up to full strength? Or do you want to do an expander surgery, which really only adds an hour onto your mastectomy, and it's minimal increase in pain other than the mastectomy, and then, you know, you're kind of out, and then you just have a series of small surgeries every couple of years.
Is there a this is across the board for plastic surgery as a whole. Is there like a requirement, a time requirement, or any type of thing doctors have to do to make sure this is what their patient wants?
You mean like a waiting period?
Like a waiting period. A required or...
Not really.
So anyone can come in and request a plastic surgery, and if there's availability tomorrow, they can just do it tomorrow.
Well, you have to make sure that they have medical clearance, of course.
Okay.
So usually we have a medical doctor take a look, check their heart, check their labs, make sure that they're going to be safe to do general anesthesia. Even with a fast turnaround, that's going to be 2 or 3 days.
Okay.
And then, of course, just making sure you know the patient well enough where you have a good feel for what they want and it's something that you can achieve.
Okay. When you have a patient, is there anything that you do? Is there a process you do to kind of make sure your patient's comfortable with their expectations?
Usually we'll see them for our initial consultation.
Okay.
And then they will kind of go think about things. And if it's an implant-related surgery, we have them bring some pictures of implants or breasts that they the husbands love that, by the way. Go find some breast pictures.
Yeah. But sure, the husbands don't mind participating in that part of it.
It's a group decision.
Yeah.
Research.
But we try to do just have them do a little bit of research, do some homework. And then we have everybody come back for a pre-op appointment, usually 1 to 2 weeks before surgery, when we sit down one more time and go over whatever surgical, the final plan is, and then make sure that we're on the same page.
Cool. Todd, did you have any?
Did you have to study psychology in a way for...
from us who are not doctors, that's where I would think you would.
Yeah.
I would think there's like mandatory psychological classes or at least type of recrediting that you have to do.
I was actually a behavioral biology major, which is similar to psych.
Yeah.
But it's not mandatory.
Yeah. What made you go into that? Or what made you choose that then?
The major?
Yeah.
To be perfectly honest with you, I went to Johns Hopkins for college. Mm-hmm. And the behavioral biology major had a very strong humanities requirement. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to study abroad. So,
oh, wow. Okay. I like that.
It fit really well.
Yeah,
that works out.
It definitely does work out.
Am I wrong, Dr. Hirsch, in thinking that should be kind of a requirement?
I don't know. I think it's helpful. But if you talk to people and you pay attention and you just listen, you can pick up a lot of that.
But you have to know... Not personally, but at least hear of some stories where it seems like doctors aren't really respecting the psychological aspect from the patient. Do you ever hear those stories, or is it something?
All the time. When I do revisions, a lot of revisions come from patients who aren't happy with their other doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be, not necessarily be a bad result, but it may be something like one thing that they're really thinking about that doctor, and they didn't like the experience, or they felt like the doctor didn't listen. I hear that all the time. They feel like the doctor didn't listen, and they say that there's this one thing that's really bothering me, and I feel like the other doctor never listened to me when I kept bringing it up. Can you fix it? And we say, yeah, of course I can fix that. It's fairly straightforward. We can do that.
Mm.
Or not. Or sometimes I say, you can't fix that.
Why are you smiling?
Because a few weeks ago, well, I guess a month ago, well, my ears have bothered me for years because they got, my earlobes got stretched out from wearing big earrings in the 90s, you know. And
I swear you're my favorite guy. You paint such a wonderful picture.
And I felt like Dumbo.
You took me back to 90s music, just like
exactly,
that.
Exactly. And so I had said before, I've worked for a lot of plastic surgeons being an esthetician over the years, and nobody would do anything about my ears. They said, you're crazy. Anyway, so when I went to Dr. Hirsch, I said, I look like Dumbo. Can you do something? And he said, absolutely. So I think it was a month ago.
Yeah, about a month ago.
He fixed my earlobes. Where I went
can't
in.
Even tell.
No. And I'm just so happy.
Yeah.
I'm so happy I don't have skin hanging underneath my earrings.
I caught Lynn just in a smile and a gaze. Yeah. That's why I say, why are you smiling?
I know, because Dr. Hirsch listened, and he didn't look at me like, you're crazy, you don't have it. He just did it. I went in. It was 45 minutes. We sat. Numb me up. We had a nice conversation, and I lost my Dumbo ears, and now they're beautiful. So that's why I was smiling.
And Dr. Hirsch, that's got to feel good.
Yeah, I love hearing that. It's, when my patients are happy, I mean, it just just makes the whole day better.
You are on cloud nine, Lynn. It's so cool. She's just great. I know you guys can't see, but Lynn is just all teeth and smiles. So it's really cool to see. But I think that's a good story, because a lot of people will say, you're crazy, you don't need this or you don't need that. But it rings the bell that it matters how you feel about yourself and what you want. You know what I mean?
Yes, but the other side of that is when it came to my breasts, I had no idea, you know, never been through this, and I left it up to Dr. Hirsch, and then after my first visit, I knew that I was in the right place, and just let him guide me, you know.
What was it about Dr. Hirsch that you knew you were in the right place from the first meeting?
I think just the personality. He's very authentic. A lot of plastic surgeons have huge egos, and I liked that he did not. I mean, again, I've worked with 10 or 12 plastic surgeons over my career, and a lot of them have brooms where they shouldn't be, you know? And Dr. Hirsch and his staff and his lovely wife have all been very genuine and authentic, and there's no attitude. It's just, okay, let's talk like human beings instead of, you know, so that's why.
Great. Is Dr. Hirsch, is plastic surgery on the rise, would you say, or is it more getting more and more popular?
The biggest growth area in general, and I would say just aesthetic surgery, is actually the non-surgical things like fillers and Botox and non-surgical treatments.
Okay.
Plastic surgery in general, like reconstruction, is pretty constant. Mm-hmm. There's always patients who have cancer, unfortunately, mm-hmm. and there's always patients who get into accidents. And so those things...
You do those as well from accidents?
From time to time, yeah. I mean, most of what we do now is breast surgery and breast-type procedures, but we do a lot of skin cancer, and every once in a while, I used to do more of it, but every once in a while we would do trauma patients, too.
I know what a trauma is, but can you explain what a trauma patient would come in for?
For example, Northridge Hospital here in the Valley, it's one of the main trauma centers in this area. And so there are a lot of patients who would come in after car accidents or, you know, every once in a while, gunshots. And for a plastic surgeon, it's often a big skin area that's involved, or if they have fractures of the bones of their face. We see that all the time.
Wow. This is a silly question. Do you ever... I don't even know how to say
We're
this.
We're firing away questions. Yeah.
Do you ever get grossed out?
No.
No?
I can't ever think of a time when I say, wow, this is gross.
Do you ever... So that's where I would fall.
Yeah.
That's where I.
That's why you're not a doctor.
That's why I'm not. I mean, there's certain procedures I could do, you know, like probably toe or finger stuff, but serious injury stuff, I couldn't do.
It can be, some of the big injuries can be pretty intense when you're trying to figure out what goes where and putting things back together. But in terms of being gross, I mean, it's the human body, and it's you know, there's nothing gross about it.
Yeah, you studied it and respect
it.
We're
comfortable.
Yeah. That's cool.
I have a couple questions.
Yes.
With regards to your profession, do you have any like big myths or facts off the top of your head for our listeners? I just like facts.
Myths about plastic surgery?
Yeah, plastic surgery or even facts or anything, something we can take away.
Well, I would say to anybody who's considering a plastic surgery procedure, I would say, number one, do your homework and make sure you know who the person is that you are that you're going to have your procedure from, number one. And then number two, think about it. And don't just walk in because you saw somebody posting something on social media that said, oh, this looks like a great thing to do. Just think about what you're going to do, because it's surgery. There are always risks of surgery. There are always things that can happen. And there are always, it's going to be a recovery process too. You don't just walk in, get surgery, and then walk out the next day and you just feel great. You know, you need to have downtime. You need to heal.
When you say think about it, obviously it's great to think about it, and everyone's going to be different, but what's a good amount of time to think about it? If someone says, I thought about it, it's been a week, you know, what's a good time to really settle in?
It depends on the procedure. So, for example, let's say somebody has a big growth on their forehead that's been there for 10 years, and it's this giant, massive thing. You shouldn't think too long about that. You should just come in. You know, let me help you. But if you're thinking about a breast augmentation or something that is going to be permanent, that's going to have long-term ramifications on your health and just on your body, you know, make sure you've thought about it for a couple weeks, you know, sometimes longer if you're a more deliberate person, and make sure you talk to other people and like I said, do your homework.
I love that. That's so cool.
And what is your favorite? Do you have a favorite procedure that you like to do? Or category of, like, you mentioned trauma patients. Do you like to do that, or does it matter? Do you have a favorite?
My favorite group of procedures are the breast procedures. Mm-hmm. My favorite individual procedure is probably a breast reduction. And the reason for that is that it's a procedure that makes such a big difference. People come in and they complain about neck pain and back pain. And they say, this has been hurting me since I was in puberty. And they just, I mean, it's a big deal. And then you do the surgery, and I mean, I can't even tell you how many times we've done this. And in the recovery room, when the patient is, you know, they're having pain, they're sore, they say, my neck and back feel so much better, thank you.
Already,
right after the surgery.
Wow.
Because it's a big weight. It's like wearing a heavy weight around your neck for 20 years.
Wow. And that's why the breast reduction is your favorite.
It's a very gratifying procedure.
No, that's interesting.
That's cool.
It's really cool because your favorite is the one that gives the patient the happiness.
Absolutely.
And that's really cool.
Yeah, but I'm his favorite patient.
Let's make that clear.
Goes without saying.
Have you ever thought about, I don't want to say expanding, but going into, like, is being a plastic surgeon kind of like, I don't know, I guess kind of being an artist, you kind of want to try something different, you know, after a certain amount of time, as we do music, so maybe after a certain time of doing one style of music, we want to try a different instrument or go in a different way.
Is there any other type of in medicine that you
would ever thought about changing over to? Or
the beauty of the human body is that there are no two that are exactly the same. So even though I may be doing a breast reduction one day, the next day I may be doing one totally different. And, you know, you learn from every procedure and you learn from every patient. And there's always something you can do differently, and there's always something you can do to make it better.
So there really are quite different.
Because
for me, the commoner, I would think two breast reduction surgeries are pretty much the same thing.
Not even close.
Tell me some of the variables.
So breast size is probably the biggest one. How big are the breasts that you start with, and how big do they want to end up with? You know, I can tell you, you know, I have seen some breasts that you would, I don't say shocked, but you would say, how can you walk around like that when they're just gigantic and people have their bras are digging into their shoulders and they have sores on their shoulders and under the breasts. And I mean, that's really a painful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are some smaller ones where they just want to be a little smaller and they're still having some symptoms. And so you're going to approach those two patients very differently. One of them, you're going to be taking away, you know, you could take 3-4 pounds away from each breast. The other one, maybe you're taking away 1/4 of a pound. But you still have to have good shape. You have to have good symmetry, and so your surgical approach, the different procedures you do, are going to be very different.
It's beautiful.
I have a question, and it's going to be an interesting one. I think
I've never heard.
When
that's why I'm
curious.
Really, I love it.
I do music with my brothers. When I go to other people's concerts, I'm looking at the lighting. I'm looking at the musicians. I'm looking at everything. If I go with my girlfriend or if I go with someone else, they're just there for the experience. They're just, I loved it, this and that. But I can see many things differently. You know, I pay attention to a lot of different things. Does this transfer over to you? Like, when you meet people, do you kind of, you get what I'm
calculate?
Saying? Yeah, do you say, like, wow, you need this, you need that? Are you able to turn that off? I know it's probably, sorry for putting you on the spot, but.
Well, so I'll phrase it two different ways. If I'm just talking to people and looking at them, then yeah, my eye is drawn to certain things that I can see when somebody's done something. And I mean, I try not to judge and say, oh, maybe I wouldn't have done that. But I do see things.
You see,
you have to see it through a different lens.
It's like with Taj, when we see movies, it's like he's looking at 20 different things that I'm not even paying attention
to. He's looking at the shot angle and.
Yeah, the lighting and the this and that, the CGI. What is it, CGI? What's the effects?
Yeah, see, there you go.
I'm learning. Yeah. But yeah, I was just curious, like when you see stuff like that.
Sure. Then there's, so the one side of it is just, am I walking down the street looking at people? I mean, I'm not evaluating them for whatever work they've had or they need, but if I see somebody and I see a scar, then my brain registers you had X, Y, and Z procedure, and mm-hmm. I mean, you can't really turn that off.
Right.
The other side of it is when I'm looking at somebody as a patient who's had some work. And I mean, there's an old joke about plastic surgeons that say, what's the only thing that two plastic surgeons can agree on? And the answer is how bad the third one is.
And so, that's great.
That is awesome.
When you're looking at somebody else's work, you tend to be more critical of that than you would of your own work.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you just kind of keep that in the back of your head.
That's really good.
So it's 1:50. So unfortunately, we have to close the show. I know it flew fast, and you both were awesome. So I can't thank you guys enough. But before we go, I always like to at least give you guys the opportunity to say whatever's on your mind, to close the show with a recap or whatever takeaway you want our listeners to have. Do you want to go first, Lynn?
Sure. I only hope that having had Dr. Hirsch here, that people are listening and they think, okay, there's somebody I can go to. You know, and that's the reason I wanted to do this with Dr. Hirsch, was to show people and to tell them and give them a place to go.
Mm-hmm.
So if they have breast cancer, they know that there's a plastic surgeon that we've met, we've talked to, I've had the experience with, and this is going to help somebody else. And that was my only reason for doing this.
Love it.
Wonderful.
Love it. Dr. Hirsch, anything you want to close?
Yeah, I'm here to help. And so if there's anything I can do for any of your listeners, or you know, if you guys want to talk to me later, I'm here to help.
Todd, did you check Twitter at all? Because we didn't even open up the phone lines.
No, we did not.
Sorry, listeners.
There was a couple questions, but I don't think we have time to get to them. But
is there one really good one you want to hit? Or
no, but I do want to say that Tiffany's in the ER right now. Tiffany that from Texas. But she says she's okay, but
she's in the
ER.
Uh-oh.
So we hope she feels better.
Tiffany, we are thinking she's in Houston too,
yeah.
Right?
Uh oh. She had, I think, a ceiling or something.
Oh no.
Yeah, but so we're here for you, Tiffany. I've been watching the thread.
Tiffany, we're sending our love to you, and we hope everything's okay. I don't like hearing that, so please keep us posted. All right. Anything else, you guys?
Mm-hmm.
Lynn. Dr. Hirsch, thank you guys so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
And I guess we'll be back next Wednesday from 1 to 2. Anything else, bros, you guys want to hit? Okay, if you liked our show, make sure you check out ddj.org. And for any more information, I'm actually doing this closing without looking down. So
it's pretty good.
Was it?
It's
all right. It's ddjf.org. You said ddj.org.
Okay, ddjf.org. We'll see you guys next Wednesday.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels
alone. Yeah, that was awesome.
Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.
Or even the transcript, anything, whatever you guys need to do.